Well, we thank the Lord for another opportunity to be here. As I was sitting there in my seat this evening, looking out and seeing the different faces, as we've said a few times already, it's so good to see each and every one out. Good to be back together. Just a few weeks ago that Brother Eric and myself were preaching to pretty much an empty building, and I'll speak for myself, but I had become quite accustomed to that, and now I guess I'm just trying to figure out if I'm more comfortable with speaking to an empty building or if I'm more comfortable with people staring at me. But I guess that's really not what we're concerned about, if we're comfortable or not. I don't guess the Lord is too concerned about that part of it. But just ask for your prayers that we'll say what He would have us to say. I look in front of me and I have a few notes on paper, and I know without Him that it's just ink on paper. And same thing with Scripture. If we're not seeking Him and asking Him to explain these things to us and show us these things, it can be just ink on paper to us. So just pray for us that we will say what He would have us to say and we would be in His will. Written on the board, the breath of God. And I guess before we make too much mention of that, I guess I would like to speak a little bit and think maybe a little bit of just what we know of breathing, what we know of breath. Don't have any intention of getting too scientific about it and that type of thing, but wondering how much thought do we actually give to the breaths we take, each and every breath, the inhale, the exhale. How much have you really thought about the last 50 or 100 breaths that you've taken, and are you really giving much thought to the next 50 or 100 that you're going to give? It's probably not something we think about a lot for the average individual. For those who are healthy and we have that ability, I feel like it's safe to say that we probably do it without giving much thought to it. I know there are those who come to places in life and they face challenges and they can get diseases, you can get different sicknesses, you can choke. And when you become to those situations in life and those circumstances, and you find it difficult to breathe, and you find it difficult to take that breath, then you're kind of forced to think about that next breath. Am I going to be able to take another breath in order to continue to function, in order to continue to live? So I was given some thought of the importance of being able to breathe, the importance of having the oxygen in the air and what that does for me, and having that ability. And it is maybe one of the most important things that are incorporated as to what we have to live. I was reading somewhere, it said you can go 3 to 5 weeks, I believe it was, without food. 3 to 5 days without water, but only 3 to 5 minutes without air, without having that ability, without breathing. If you were to go 3 to 5 minutes without breathing, that's how long you could go before the deprived oxygen and the brain damage and all that type of thing. So thinking of how important it is to be able to take that breath, I guess I think back as well to times of that I've been in a swimming pool. And if you've ever, I'm sure some of you have, you have a buddy there, you have a sibling, and you want to have a contest to see how long you can hold your breath. And maybe you go underwater, you fill your lungs with air, and you go underwater, and maybe if you have the ability, you can see that other person. And you want to see how long I can hold my breath, can I beat you, can I hold my breath, and you give it everything you got. And at first, it might not be too difficult, but as time goes on, maybe as you approach that minute mark, and maybe you get tingly, and I think back, everything, it's doing everything you can do, watching that person and determining that I'm going to hold my breath longer than that person. Now, I just remember trying to relax, but squeezing my hands together and giving it to the very last second. And then coming up at the very last minute, and what do? You gasp, and you fill those lungs with air, and knowing that if you weren't able to get, if you were ever in a situation that you were not able to surface and fill those lungs with air, oh, what a devastating thing that would be. Well, that's just fun and games, things that I think about, but knowing that breathing is so vital, so important to us living life, and without it, knowing what the outcome would be. But I think of it in the terms, that's my simple way of thinking. But I think of it, the breath of God, and how if I don't have the breath of God or the breath of the Lord upon me and in my life, and I don't have that experience, how I would die a physical and a spiritual death. I think of breath. It's God given. Maybe I don't think about it enough. Maybe I do it without thinking about it. But I think of that God given breath. That is something, when I talk a physical, that we, our physical breathe in and out, but that is something that He is taking the time to give each and every one of us. Each and every breath we take is something that He has chosen to give. Something that He could, at any time, I mean, He has the right to pull that away from us, but just thinking of how special that is, that He takes the time to give us each breath we take. And I think it's important to recognize that that is from Him. And that I could do nothing, I am nothing. And it is only because of Him and what He chooses to do for me is the only reason I'm here today. It's the only reason that I live life. Because He is such a loving God, and that He does that for us. And I hope that we can always recognize that. There was we don't have to turn there, but there was over in Job, I think that was in the 33rd chapter of Job, someone was speaking to Job, and I forget who that was, but he said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." And he recognized that I am nothing. I am nothing without the Lord. I am nothing on this earth. I am nothing without the Lord and the life that He gives and the breath that He gives. And I'm sure many feel, and I'm sure he was referencing to that scripture in Genesis, in chapter 2, where God created man, where God had wanted man to be on the earth. It was chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul? I think about that. The Lord wanted somebody to talk with and to conversate with and wanted somebody to love him. So what did the Lord do? He took the time. He made man out of the dust of the ground. He made man out of the dust of the ground, but he didn't just make man and leave him there in a pile of skin or whatever it was. But it goes on to says he goes on to say he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that is the only reason that man was able to become a living soul, because God himself breathed into that thing, that form of a man, that flesh, and filled that flesh with something of him. And then only was that man able to become a living soul. I think what if God would have stopped there? What if God would have made that flesh and bone and then not went any farther with it? Well, science tells us that with time and the elements, that thing would have begun to rot and to decay. But no, God continued the process and breathed into that thing, that form, the breath of life. And just thinking how wonderful it is to know that every breath I take is something special, is something God-given. And I hope that we never forget that. That's kind of the physical, I guess, part of it, maybe you could say. But I also feel that when we speak of the breath of God, that maybe there's something a little more there, something maybe a little deeper, a little bit more important than just physical breath and physical breathing. I'd like to look at the account over in Ezekiel chapter 37. We'll start at verse 1. We'll read this account, a few scriptures, just bear with us. Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 1. This is the account of the valley of the dry bones. Verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." And I guess I ask you quite often, if you could put yourself, I like to put myself in these stories, and I like to paint these pictures in my mind, and it kind of brings it to life. And I look at this and I look at myself walking into a valley and seeing nothing. But I've been in a few valleys and I enjoy looking around. And I remember once we were up in Colorado and we walked into a big valley, and it was so plush and green and just as far as the eye could see. Wondrous beauty. But to put yourself in this type of a situation, or to see this happening, and seeing a valley filled with nothing but dry, maybe some bleached bones. Just what a gruesome place to be in. But we'll continue. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, I said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone, And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, where we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, and I will open up your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So, an account where he comes to the valley of dry bones and sees these bones, and the Lord says, can I raise these bones up? Can these bones live? And of course he knows who he's dealing with. He says, Lord, of course. Oh Lord God, thou knowest. You know that these bones can live. Of course these bones can live. And I think of that account, and maybe how long those bones had laid there, and how dry they were, and the miracle that took place right there before his eyes. As the Lord brought those things to life, as the muscle fibers started to reform themselves on those bones, and the skin and everything came together, and there they were, lying on the ground, propped against the rocks, however they were, but the work was still not complete. He said, prophesy to the winds. And then the breath of the Lord went inside those beings, those figures, and they lived, and they rose a great army. And I think, I try to think, how does that fit? How does that account fit into my life today? And my thoughts are that if the Lord can do that to a valley of dry, dusty bones, the whole, what did it say? This was the whole house of Israel. If the Lord can do that for the Israelite people, these old bones, what can He do for me in my life if I have His breath within me? And that's where my burden is at this evening, is that without Him, what are we? Without the Lord in my life, who am I? Who am I? How important is it that I have the breath of God within myself? What were those bones in the valley? They were dead. They were dried up bones. Isn't it true that without the breath of the Lord in my life, without the physical breath that He gives, where would I be? I would be dead. I would have no life. That's can we say common sense? If I can't breathe, I don't live. If I don't have the breath of the Lord speaking in a spiritual sense in my life, can I live? I can live this physical life. But will I have life after death? If I don't have the breath of the Lord, what sustains life? What sustains life? Breath. God-given breath. What sustains spiritual life? What sustains me in my daily walk, in my persevering to live life, to live for the Lord. God give him breath. And I hope we can get a hold of the fact that I am nothing without that breath that he gives. No amount of whoever it was that was talking to Job says, the Lord hath made me. The Lord's the one that gives me life. I'm nothing without him. No amount of anything. I'm not quoting scripture now, but no amount of anything is going to sustain me through life. It's going to uphold me. No car, no amount of money, no job, no amount of fame or anything. Nothing I can do is going to get me where I need to go. Nothing I can do of myself is going to cause this flesh, these bones, to be able to live, to walk around. But the only life that I can have in this physical world, in this physical life that I live, and more importantly, the only life that, if I am looking and anticipating life after death, then I must have the breath of the Lord upon my life. I have to, as I come out of that swimming pool, and I am searching for any amount of air that I can get. I am grasping, and I'm trying to get every bit of it that I can get to fill my lungs, to take that next breath in order to live. I'm going to have to grasp at the breath of the Lord for everything I am worth. I've got to fill everything. I've got to fill myself up with the breath of the Lord. And this verse 10 says, "And the breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." An exceeding great army that, you know, and I think, isn't that what the Lord wants to do for us? Doesn't He want us to live? Doesn't He want us to live victoriously? Doesn't He want us to triumph over things in this life? Doesn't He want us to have the power and over sin, the power that He can give us, help that He can give us? And the only way we are going to be able to do that and to face the things that we need to face in this life, the only way that we are going to be able to avoid being just a sack of dry bones is to be able to have the ability and to take what the Lord wants to give us, hit part of Him, part of His Spirit, part of what He has to offer. And I'm going to have to take that and put that inside of me and take that into me. And the minute I do away with that, the minute I choose to fill myself with something other than His breath, then I will find that life cannot be sustained. I can't go on. I can't go on living the way He wants me to live and taking in things that are not of Him and maybe taking in dirty air from somewhere else. But no, it has to be, I have to fill my, can I say, spiritual lungs? I know that's not a thing, but I have to fill myself with that sweet breath of Jesus, that sweet breath of God. You take that breath away, and just like it would be in the physical sense, you take breath away, the body dies. The body begins to decay, to rot, and goes back to the dust of the earth. Take away that breath. Take away that thing that the Lord wants to give you, that part of Himself that He wants to give you. And the spirit is going to die. The spirit will not and cannot live. But Lord, help us to recognize the importance of taking in the breath of the Lord. I think of how the ability it has. Oh, the ability the breath of the Lord has to be able to renew, to refresh, to have life. Isn't there a scripture that says to have life and to have it more abundantly? Isn't that what the Lord wants to give us is life? To refresh us from day to day, to renew, to be renewed in Him day to day? I think of the sickness that people, not literal and physical sickness, but I think of just the things that people the places they find themselves in, and the trouble that they bring upon themselves. But you know what? Even those places that people, through human nature, they get themselves in, they too can still have the breath of life. And dear ones, just as they can have the breath of life, we can still continue to have the breath of God within us. And I think of our Wednesday nights and how we come here and we give our testimonies and we tell that's what we're telling. That's what we're giving thanks to the Lord for. It's for the things that the Lord has done for us and how He has renewed us and how He has refreshed our souls. That's the place I want to be in. I don't want to be just dry bones in that valley. I want to be that plush valley that I've seen, just as far as the big, tall, thick grass that's alive. Something that's alive. I remember, it's been a couple years now, but the previous job I had, when I was working out there in the Gulf, we had opportunity many, many times to ride on these big work boats. Big old work boats, probably as long as this chapel. And big long decks. Well, sometimes you would find yourself going in the cabins of these boats down below. And you would go in these cabins and, man, sometimes you would have some rough seas. And that boat would be rocking. And, man, you walk in these cabins of these boats and down below. And, man, they were just, I guess I could use the word putrid smelling. It was just diesel fumes. There was no air moving around down there. And it was just, with the rocking of the boat, it would just, you would get that nasty seasick feeling. And sometimes there were circumstances you couldn't go back outside on the deck. Most of the time you could. And I remember having those feelings from time to time. And my thought would be, if I could get out on the deck of that boat and lean over that boat and let that air hit me in the face, if I could just get out of this environment, this sick feeling that I have, and go outside and lean over the side of that boat and stare that wind in the face and just let that wind hit me in the face and just breathe as deep as I could breathe, that maybe this sick feeling would go away. And I remember doing that. I did that often. And most of the time, it was like flipping a switch. You would go out there and stare that wind in the face, and, well, you take a couple good, deep, solid breaths, and that feeling would almost vanish from time to time. And I thank the Lord that He could take those feelings away. And I'm not giving credit just to the air and my way of thinking. But, folks, that's what the Lord wants us to do in our life. Of places we go through, places we find ourselves. If I come to a place in my life and the Lord has shown me that maybe I'm not 100% on something, that maybe I'm down about something, maybe I need to step it up in this area of my life. Maybe I'm feeling kind of sick about some things. Maybe I got some things that aren't quite right, that need to be taken care of. You know what? It's the breath of God that that He wants to give to us, that we can fill ourselves up with those things to take care of all these things that shouldn't be. That He can give new life to an old body, an old sin-sick soul. That's what the Lord wants to do with His breath. There was an account in John. Just one scripture. I'll turn there real quick. John chapter 20, verse 22. Jesus had been talking in these previous scriptures. I believe this was right after He rose from the grave, and He appeared to His disciples, and He was talking to them. And it said, verse 22 says, "And when He had said this," there's some conversation, "He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He breathed on them. I believe that would be a place I would like to be in. The Lord Himself breathed on me. You know, I know many times we think, well, I don't want you to stand too close. I don't want to smell your breath. I don't want you breathing on me. It's germy, especially right now, right? But how precious would it be to be in the Lord's presence and to be able to say, "The Lord breathed on me." Folks, that's what I hope we can all say. That I'm in the place that the Lord breathed on me. He breathed on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. You see, that's what it's all about. He wants to breathe on us as we go through life day to day. And He wants to give us part of who He is. Part of His Spirit. He wants us to receive something special from Him. I know there's all kind of things we can think about. We think about the bread, and He is the bread. He gives us that. We eat, and He's the bread of life, and He's a fountain, and He is all those things. He is all those things. But He's also the breath of God is the breath of life. Lord, help me to be in a place that when I allow the Lord's breath to fill my life, and I can say, you know what, the Lord breathed on me today. Oh, I am filling myself with a part of Him. He has taken the time to give His child, to give you, to give me something of Himself. Something that He wants to share of, some help. Lord, help us to realize that my life on earth is dependent on the breath of God, the physical breath that He gives, the inhale, the exhale. My life is dependent on that. But even more importantly, how much more my soul is dependent on the breath of the Lord. How much do you think about breathing? Your next breath, your next 20 breaths, 100 breaths, 300. I doubt you will wake up in the morning giving much thought to being able to breathe throughout the day. Most of us in here. But Lord, help us to think about the breath that the Lord can give. And what are we filling? What are we filling our lungs with? What are we filling the spiritual side of that? What am I filling that with? Am I filling that with something that's beneficial to me? Am I filling it with good, clean information, things? I remember, if you ever hauled any hay, I remember going in that hay barn, you unload, and unloading that trailer in the hay barn. And sometimes that light would shine through. That light would be so bright, shining through one of the spaces in that barn, and man, the dust you would see flying around that room. And you would, and you can't help but stop and think, man, you see it just dust in that bright sunlight. And you think, man, am I really breathing this in right now? And it would make me want to hold my breath and say, I can't believe I'm taking all this into my lungs. Man, this can't be good. It can't be healthy. Well, I know you got to carry on. You got to do what you got to do. But Lord, help us as we go through life, that we take in things that's going to nourish, that's going to strengthen, that's going to help. And if we're taking in the breath of God, that's the kind of things that we're going to receive. That's the kind of things that he's going to give us. Lord, help us that we not be a valley, or help us to not be the dry bones in the valley. Help us not to be just a lump of flesh and clay on the ground. But that the Lord's breath, that God can breathe into us, as Jesus did on the disciples. He said he breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. You know what? I want to receive some things from the Lord. But it's going to be letting him breathe on me. And then whatever he breathes on me, whatever he gives me, is to take that in. To take that in and fill myself up. That's where I want to be. Y'all pray for me. I do appreciate your time and attention this evening.